run. Thank you, Lord, for this time of the conference. Thank you that we are able to be here together. We pray, Lord, that you continue to open up your word to us, that you speak to us. Lord Jesus, give us ears to hear. Who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We praise the Lord for this time, for the grace that he's giving us to enter into his word and also to seek what is on his heart and to bring it out and also to lay hold of it. Let's continue tonight a bit more. I think we could say so much more about chapter 2. And at the end of this conference, we don't want to stop speaking about Philippians. So there is a lot of opportunity to speak about this and that. But what is important is to hear the Lord's concern and to enter into this word. And that we can keep this oneness together and have the mind of Christ and lay hold of it together. The Lord may be gracious to all of us. And he will be gracious to us if we stretch forward to him. Philippians 3 says, "For the rest, my brothers, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord." Before, there were some things that were not so easy, like the severe sickness of a brother, but now it continues. For the rest, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. So he's encouraging us tonight also to rejoice. And it's surprising how Paul always says, like, rejoice. It sounds like pressing a button and then rejoicing. Who can do that? But this joy is not just an emotion that we try to produce somehow, but actually it's being focused in faith on the Lord, and then there will be joy. When we look upon him, then we will be encouraged. Then there will be different situations that may be different, but then we know that the Lord is so near. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not irksome. But for you, it is a protection, it says in German. Shall we say the same thing again? The same things here? It's not irksome to Paul, he says, because it's a protection to all of us. And that is also how we should have this attitude of receiving. Some things we may know, some things we may have laid hold of already, some things may already be our daily practice. But he says again here, it protects us to say the same thing again. Paul has a concern to protect the saints and to confirm them, establish them, and to make them firm in what the Lord has given them. And what is it that we hear again? It's the word of the truth. Paul says to Timothy once in 2 Timothy 3:14.
Er sagt, du aber bleibe in dem, was du gelernt hast und wovon du überzeugt bist, da du weißt, von wem du gelernt hast
But you continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned, and that from a babe you have known the sacred writings. There were at that time some people not that open anymore towards the word, but he encourages the saints here to remain, to abide. Continue in the things which you have learned. How can we continue? Brothers and sisters, how can we continue? Abide, continue in the word, in the things which you have learned. This is a protection for all of us, also for you, the young people. You have heard and received something of the word already, a lot already. Many among you have gone to the Schuko, to the young students, high schooler conferences, then to the young people's conferences and so on. And Paul says, continue in this word, not just check it and then say, that's fine, put a check mark on it, and I can explain it, but continue in it. Lay hold of it daily. This is such a protection. And what I would like to say also is that we should have, get into such a practice, not to take such a word on conferences or on camps, Bible camps, and it's our experience already, but let's take a purpose in this word. You know, why did we take Philippians? We could also have picked a topic. They are nice topic, important topics. But we said that we would go through the epistle to the Philippians because we don't want to miss any of the truths. We don't want to be one-sided. We don't want just to stick with some favorite verses. But with the Lord and through the leading of the Spirit, we want to lay hold of something. And therefore, we continue in the word. Take a purpose something to read all the Gospels or to read the whole New Testament or maybe the whole Old Testament or maybe both. You continue in the things which you have learned. It may sound simple, but it is a good practice to continue in that word. And in 2 Peter 1:12, I'll always be ready to remind you of these things, although you know them. Although the saints knew them, he wanted to remind them, and although they were established in the present truth. This is what we need, to be confirmed in the present truth. And then a reminder is sufficient. And then the Spirit has the opportunity to lead us into all the reality.
Was sagt Paulus weiter? Gebt acht.
Then Paul continues in Philippians and says, take heed, beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the concision.
Wow.
Now it becomes a bit clearer why he encourages the saints to be protected. Because obviously there are not only people who are furthering the faith, but there are evil workers. And those evil workers went out to bring the saints away, to draw them after themselves, partly, also partly to bring them into religious groups, and they were really working on that, to do that. Isn't that terrible? People seriously working on bringing people away from the Lord, evil workers.
Herr Jesus, gebt acht, sagt er.
Beware, he says, therefore. And that was also what they experienced there. It's interesting that the church in Philippi is the first church in Europe. So the Lord sent the gospel to Europe.
Davor waren sie ja an vielen Orten gewesen und es war oft so gewesen, dass sie in der Synagoge das Wort.
And before they were in many places and they went to the synagogues and spoke in the synagogues first to the Jews and then also to the nations.
Eigentlich immer Gemeinden, die auch ein Stück weit herausgekommen waren und auch.
So that means that these churches were all under an influence of the Old Covenant. But what we had heard so far, Lydia and the prison keeper did not have that background. They never knew the Old Covenant. They didn't find the Lord after believing in God, but probably they came from somewhere else. So actually they would have been free. From this point of view, they may have started from zero, free of all religious bonds. But somehow these old things came back in again. For the translators, this may be a bit difficult, but there is this term of being overtaken from the right-hand side. Usually you're doubled on the left-hand side. So you look to the left because people are driving faster there. And so if someone takes over right on the right-hand side, you don't really realize it. And it's like this a little bit. The new saints here starting out with the Lord, it's as if they were overtaken from the right-hand side. Something comes back to them which never entangled them before, like ordinances, rituals that were not commanded for them. People came in and wanted to teach them that they had to come back to these ordinances, that they needed circumcision again, the ordinances of the Old Covenant they were supposed to keep. And we need to be aware of that as well. I think many among the young ones here have the grace to have started at zero. We have not experienced things that the generation before us has experienced. Some rituals and rites was not us. My whole life I was free of Christmas, of the Christmas tree, of all that Christmas trouble. It never encumbered me. This is a grace. Others fought a hard fight to get released of that, and they took time to be here at this conference together, and they were struggling for that. So we should have an appreciation for the fact not to keep a tradition, but that we have the living Christ. But don't be overtaken from the right-hand side. On some level or the other, things may come back. I remember some craftwork. I remember my children made some craft things in kindergarten, in nursery school. And they brought these things home. It's Christmas decoration. What do you do now? not so easy if your child brings it in, right? And there were questions that we had to answer. That's always an opportunity to explain why we are not for a tradition, why are we not for a tree, may it be green as it wants, but why we are for the living Christ, that we are enjoying something completely different and just not just one day a year, but 364 days more per year, that we can receive Him into our lives and that we can call upon Him and receive eternal life. Explain this to your children. Don't just say, oh, well, this is not ours. We put it to the corner, this craftwork. And this is just an example. There are different things, right? Let's have an open eye on these things that we have put off years ago may come back through the back door, as here with the Philippians was the case. And Paul tells them, shows them something that he did not say when he was present. He says here that from the point of view of the old covenant, that he actually had an excellent background. He says in verse 4, though I myself could have confidence also in the flesh, if any other man thinks to have confidence in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the race of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, a real Israelite, a Hebrew of Hebrews, and also according to the law, a Pharisee. This sect that was the strictest and kept everything, they even invented more stricter things that should be held, not to trespass any of those commandments God gave. So he says that, look, if this had a value, I would have met all the requirements. But he said, I left everything behind. This is what he testifies later on. But after that, he says something different. He says, in verse 6, as to zeal, persecuting the church. Here it seems to be changing. Before, what he wrote didn't sound bad.
Aber auf jeden Fall hat dieser alte religiöse Eifer ihn
But this old religious zeal made him to persecute the church. Without knowing God, without knowing His purpose, He worked against the church. He brought the saints to prison. He persecuted them. So he became a persecutor of the church. Let us just take a glance back to how he did all this. In Acts 9, he was religiously zealous to persecute the church and went on a trip. He even got letters and recommendations to be able to persecute the saints in other cities, among them in Damascus. And on this way, in Acts 9, verse 4, he fell down to the ground because there was a light coming down from heaven, and he heard a voice from heaven saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He thought that he would be persecuting those who are wrongly believing in Christ. But then there was a voice, why are you persecuting me? And he said in verse 5, Acts 9, verse 5, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. This was a revelation, right? The Lord did not say, these are my disciples that you are persecuting. But he said, I am the one that you're persecuting. And actually, this way showing him that this is his body on this earth. You are persecuting people on the earth, but in reality, you are persecuting Christ's body, and the head is speaking to you right now. I am Jesus who you are persecuting. This was the way how Paul got to know the Lord. And I think this was a real special moment. Then he had to be led by his hands because he did not see anymore. He had to be brought to Damascus. Actually, he wanted to clear up the whole city. And then, like a blind person, he was led to that city and he had to stop short. Stop doing what he wanted to do and did not see anything. And it's really remarkable how he was helped.
Es kommt ein Ananias. Und dieser Ananias,
there was a man coming to him who was called Ananias. But he also had to be helped first. Ananias was supposed to go to Saul, but he didn't want to go because he said, I don't want, because this one is the one who was persecuting us, right? Does someone want to read it in Acts 9, verse 17? 17 and 18. And Ananias went away and entered into the house. Laying his hands on him, he said, Saul, brother, the Lord has sent me, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, so that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight and rose up and was baptized. He was helped. Who was Ananias? Nobody knows who that was. It was obviously a saint, obviously a believer, and obviously he was ready to follow the commandment of the Lord, at least after he spoke to the Lord. So that was a normal brother. Maybe he was a small brother, but a normal brother anyway, who was ready to cooperate with the Lord. And this brother now told Paul the next step.
Der Herr hat dem Paulus auf wunderbare Weise hat er seine Gemeinde offenbart.
And in a wonderful way, Paul was revealed the Lord's purpose. He saw that he did not persecute people, but he persecutes the Lord's body. And after that, Paul gets help through his body, through a brother. This is the revelation that Paul received. Christ, but not only Christ, not only Jesus who he persecuted, but his body. I would say here, according to the verses in Ephesians 5, we have seen that this last conference, Christ and the church. This mystery is great. I speak about Christ and the church. That means that the Lord revealed himself to him, but not only as one single person, but in his body. So we should also have this prayer to the Lord, Lord, reveal yourself to me in your body. There are some more verses in the outline. Maybe you can read them at home, or we can continue to have fellowship after the message. how the Lord appreciates to reveal himself in the body. Also in the Song of Songs, the Shulamite always seeks the Lord, and there is this verse, which is included here as well, to follow the traces of the flock. Yes, where can we know and see the Lord Jesus? We can best do this together with the brothers and sisters. In the Word, we can see him. But in fellowship, it becomes much more rich. And all together, this brings forth glory. And through the Spirit, this is incredible. We see a Christ how we have never seen him. A verse which we have read before already, which we know so well, Paul only wrote it as a reminder. It's being illuminated, enlightened, and it gets so refreshing and speaks into our situation. If not all, can testify concerning that, how the Lord helped us through the body. We were maybe discouraged, maybe the day was not going as smoothly as expected, or the week was not so good, or a whole stretch of time, but in the fellowship with the saints, we got encouraged, and the meetings are so encouraging and so precious. And I want to say that we should appreciate what we have in the church. You know, like expoundings, interpretations of the Bible can be taken from somewhere else. There are books that explain the Bible. There are YouTube videos that speak about the Bible. And of course, you always have to check where it comes from. There are also some things that are not good. But many things are not bad, are quite good even. But before that background, of the background of these verses, I'd like to ask you a question. Where would you like to be brought on by the Lord? In front of your computer, with YouTube, or in the fellowship with the saints? The saints are so precious. Maybe the brother who is together with you in the home meeting, he may be not so strong rhetorically speaking. Maybe he cannot explain things so well. Maybe there is a deficit in from his part, but the fellowship in the body is so precious. It's all different. You know, Ananias was not Daniel. Paul says, before he was taught by Gamaliel, he was one of the best teachers of that time, but he could not help him at that time. And Ananias had to come to have fellowship in the body. Fellowship in the body was necessary, and it's so precious. This brother who tells you, yeah, you need to read a bit more in the Word. Or I don't know what he says. Well, maybe he doesn't say anything. Maybe just tells you the verse that he has enjoyed in the morning, and the Lord speaks through that to you. It's so precious when the Lord reveals himself through the body to you, and we should seek this revelation when we come together, here in the conference, when we are having hospitality in the homes or in the hotels after the meeting. Let's seek the Lord together. Here it's not a place only where we have sharings, but this fellowship in the body is so precious. In Acts, there was a brother which was named in Acts and also in Corinthians. In Acts 18, he was taught in the way of the Lord, and he was burning in spirit and teaching exactly about Jesus, although he knew only baptism of John. So this was a person who came out of the Old Covenant. He was on his way, but for whatever reason, no one brought him fully out and taught him about baptism. Maybe he moved away before he got to know the church or whatever. In verse 26, there were saints who helped him. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him to themselves and expounded the way of God to him more accurately. So this was wonderful that a couple was there who took him, maybe he was an older brother or a younger one, I don't know, but he appreciated their help. There was a body, part of the body, that expounded the way of God to him more accurately. Praise the Lord for all the saints and all those who have been around for more time. We have got the responsibility to be able to expound God's way accurately. The parents have the responsibility for their children to explain God's way to them. Maybe may answer, oh, well, at my table at home eating, I don't want to give a message. Well, before, I also thought I often have to share something a longer stretch after eating. If you have the grace and the joy, do it. Go ahead. But what I want to say is that it's not that much that you have to share. When we, as parents, share something about how we went our way with the Lord in former times when we were young or today, this is such a salvation. You may think and remember, oh yes, how did I receive the Lord? How was it? Or when were I baptized? And then you tell that to your children. Then you have fellowship about it, or if others are present. But this fellowship in the body is so necessary, so important. And we will all profit from that. The parents profit, the children profit from it. And it may also be vice versa, that the parents hear something from the children. You've got more meetings, more church camps than we parents, maybe not half an hour message at the dinner table, but a nice verse or your experience. It's so wonderful when we share that, when together we lay a hold of Christ and we see the Lord, not a theory. Oh, there's something I had not known before. It's also nice what you had not known before, that you see something new. But it's wonderful when this, what we had not known, becomes a joy to us and we let it flow out. And it becomes joy to others, and it serves for the building up of the church. Now I need to speak a bit slower. A sister said, I will translate, please speak slowly. So a break, a little pause. We want to gain Christ. We will not finish these verses, and we can also have fellowship about the verses. But one concern I still have, which to show you how Paul does it to lay hold of Christ. He says, what was gained to me, I counted it loss on account of Christ. There are different ways, different kinds of going on with the Lord. Sometimes a problem just blows us away. Some worries, difficulties, an unpassed exam, or a project that failed. You worked for 3 years and it's now finished. I think one project, I worked for a project for 4 years. I went around the whole world, and sometime my boss came to me and said, now it stops. It was just finished. For me, this was it was not easy to tackle that. It was wholesome to me, though, because I just came to that company and I said, oh, this is all news, something very new. It will work for the whole world, what we built up, for the whole the company worldwide in many countries. It was supposed to be applied. And then in the end, well, it came differently. So what do we do when such a situation comes? Such situations help us. And we realize the things of the world have their end, and they help us to focus completely on the Lord. We turn consciously to Him then. But here, my impression is that Paul had another way. Here with him, there was no failures that brought him on. He did it a bit more systematically. He did like a sports. He said, I forget about what is behind. In Philippians 3, I count everything lost. I had so many different things formerly, but I count them loss for the overwhelming greatness of the knowledge of my Lord Jesus Christ. He did that on purpose. Shall we try that out again? Also, not forget about something that went wrong. That's also good, but it's easier, right? If it didn't go well, you can just forget about it. But some things may go well. Some projects at work, or some things in your hobby or whatever, some things may run quite well. And we can thank the Lord that they run well, that it works all well. But sometimes I get the impression that we cannot do all things at one time. There are so many things that we may be doing. Many things that are not bad, are not sinful, they are even necessary, they seem to be necessary. But they take our time. They take our heart. How about asking the Lord, Lord, can I limit this maybe just because of you? Maybe we don't need to leave it all out and neglect it and don't do that anymore. Maybe we do. But maybe can I count something for loss because of the excellency of the knowledge of my Savior? Some things we cannot just leave them away and not do them. We are normal people on this earth. But we can ask the Lord, Lord, can I quit something for the overwhelming greatness of the knowledge of my Lord Jesus Christ? I count everything for a loss so that I may gain Christ. Like to prison, he did not move in. He did not pack all his household stuff and move into prison. It stays all behind. It was just Paul who went, his person of Paul who went into prison, no one else. Sometimes a brother went with him. But the Lord may give us light. May release us from where we think is what is necessary.
Deswegen ich alle Dinge verloren habe und sie für Abfall achte, damit ich Christus gewinne.
I count also all things to be lost on account of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, on account of whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them refuse that I may gain Christ. And I don't want to give you so many examples what can be lost, because everybody knows that himself, and the Lord, the Spirit may lead you. And even though the Lord shows me that I have to put something off, I don't need to tell anyone. We don't need to exhort each other. We can be models to each one, for each other, and be led by the Lord. And we can look to others and take them as patterns, but then we also take the Lord as our role model. Then there are verses also in the gospel, verses in the gospel that tell us how the disciples counted things as loss. Yes, so we want to know him and be found in him, which is in verse 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God based on faith. To know him, in verse 10, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. This is a way how we can see Christ more by coming into the whole work that he has accomplished. He says that he wants to experience the power of his resurrection, but at the same time he shows us also that the power of his resurrection can be experienced by being conformed to his death. We may have one or the other fellowship, or maybe at the breakfast table tomorrow morning we will have some more time maybe to talk about this for those who don't know exactly what that means. But the death of the Lord, his cross, is such a way to see and to know Christ. You know, sometimes we don't know what is from the Lord and what not. On the one hand, we need to discern with wisdom and love and discernment and have all tenderheartedness and discern what is from the Lord. But sometimes it doesn't become so clear. But then there is one way to discern things, just to bring them into the Lord's death and say, Lord Jesus, this thing has been crucified with you. Not only this thing, but I have been crucified with you, Lord. My courage has been crucified. My bad mood has been crucified. My frustration has been crucified. My urge to change something has been crucified. My old man has been crucified. And we have given into death everything, then it's just finished. And this is a great liberation. All our struggling finds an end. All our endeavors find an end. Because we can testify, I have been crucified with Christ. I don't need to fight. I don't need to gain this victory through my own strength. But I just give myself into his death. And then there is a wonderful effect. Liberation is there, liberty. We are not only liberated, but we realize that something different comes in, something sooner or later, something's growing up of Christ in us. Something's brought forth of the new man. And this is all different. Christ is being manifested in us. He's being magnified in our bodies. And we see Christ as the one who's growing in us, who gives us a completely new way of treating a certain thing. When we are conformed to his death, then we will also experience the power of his resurrection. This is a wonderful mystery for our personal life and also for the church life. We can give everything into his death. It's possible. Try it out.
Man kann es alles in den Tod geben.
You can give everything into death.
Er wird weiter wirken.
And the Lord will continue to do his work.
Leitet er dich ganz neu.
Maybe he will lead you in a completely new way. Maybe he'll lead you in the way he did before. But it's still different. It's not according to your own righteousness. It's not according to what you know, but it's according to grace. It's through faith. It's with much boldness, but with at the same time with a great fear. The fear of doing something out of your own strength. Praise the Lord for his cross. The cross is the power and the fellowship of his sufferings by being conformed to his death is so wonderful. And this is what I want to conclude with, what I want to end with. Let's continue to speak about that and to get into that, so that experience, how we can experience the power of his resurrection by being conformed to his death. I think we'll speak about that tomorrow as well. And there is this also a wonderful reward for that. In verse 11, he says, if by any means I may attain to the out resurrection from among the dead. There is something that's a bit mysterious, something that the Lord has promised to us. When we experience him today, then we will also participate in the out resurrection from among the dead. Praise the Lord.